That's about discussing the Rambam Shita, Perakei Focus Shabbos and Perakei Lamed Focus Shabbos, where the Rambam discusses various aspects of the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. He pointed out that the Rambam seems to point to a distinction that the Gaon writes explicitly, that Kavod refers to Hachanami Bol Yom as opposed to Oneg, which refers to that which a person benefits from on Shabbos itself. And in both contexts, the Rambam stresses the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos in Perakei, to have a ner dolog for Shabbos is the kiyum of oneg in Perek Lamed, that the hadlaka, the hachana mibal yom, that is mishum kavod Shabbos. So therefore the two kiyumim in the Rambam Shisa of ner Shabbos. We pointed out the Medrash Tanchum is explicit, the very beginning of Parshas Noach, the karos l'Shabbos oneg, zu hadlakas ner b'Shabbos. Clearly it's part of the kiyum of oneg Shabbos. And that's how Tosfos understands the sugya of kafei madeis. What's wrong with Rabba's objection that if you use something that emits a foul odor, Shemi ani chenu v'yetze? So Rabba responds and says, Hadloka saner v'shabbos chova. Tosfos explains that means that ner Shabbos is part of the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos, and therefore it's essential that a person has to derive benefit from the neros during Shabbos itself. That will not necessarily occur if you use itran, and therefore that is why the Mishnah tells us that that cannot be used for the purpose of Ner Shabbos. But as mentioned, in addition to this, the Rambam stresses in Perek Lamed the aspect of Kavod. And we pointed out that there is Machlokas Rishonim will discuss in a few moments whether in fact there is a bracha on the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Shabbos or whether there is not. And even if there is a bracha, what is the Nusach HaBracha? So Hagos Maimonos in Perekei of Focus Shabbos quotes the Rishami that the bracha is Lichvod Shabbos and Lichvod Yantiv. After all, the hadlaka is, of course, mibol yom. At that point, that is the mitzvah of kavod, and therefore the nusach habracha emphasizes that lichvod Shabbos, lichvod yantiv. Hashem shat that our practice of the hadlik ner shol Shabbos perhaps is in order to emphasize the dual aspects of not only kavod but oneg as well. And therefore, in such an instance, we use a more general bracha rather than simply single out kavod. Although, as the Rambam writes, that in fact is the maisa hamitzvah baka mibol yom, obviously, as a function of the mitzvah of kavod. One of the differences in terms of whether the hadlaka mibol yom is simply out of necessity, that look, what choice does a person have? Obviously, you cannot wait until Shabbos to light, and therefore necessarily there must be hadlaka mibol yom. But according to this chiddush in the Rambam, it's much more than that. The reason one is madlik mibol yom is not just simply because there is no choice, but rather because that is the mitzvah of kavod. And this is what you find in the hakdama to the prisha in the tour Yoredeya. What about when it comes to yantiv? When is the ideal time to be madlik neros on yantiv? Well, if you assume that what's driving the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is one of oneg, and the only reason the hadlaka is mibol yom is because there is no other option, well, on yantiv, when one is able to extend a ner on yantiv itself, so perhaps one could wait until yantif itself in order to go ahead and light. The mitzvah of oneg would certainly be fulfilled, and here there's a way to do so even on yantif itself. But that's the comment in the Hakdama of the Prisha to the Tur Yoredeya. It's written by the son of the Prisha, who says this comment in the name of his mother, that no, that the purpose that there is hadlaka mibod yom is a function of kavod, and therefore that applies not only on Shabbos, but even on yantif as well. The Rambam writes in Perek Vav Hilchos Yantif, that kishem shechayav nechaved Shabbos ulongo, that just as one is obligated in kavod and oneg on Shabbos itself, the Rambam writes this applies in each and every yantif as well. So if in fact there is a kiyum of kavod, so therefore hadlaka mibod yom is not only because of Yisr Malacha, but because of the mitzvah's kavod, and therefore even on yantif, that would be the ideal time to light. That's what you find in the Hakdama of the Prisha. This is against the Magen Avraham. Because the Magen Avraham, which is found in Simin Tav Kuv Gimel, the Magen Avraham is commenting on what the Mechaber writes, that one is not allowed to do any Hakana from one day of Yantif to the next. So therefore you have a difficulty. Yantif Sheni Shogolios, when you're going to be Madlik Lener, Mibod Yom, if one will be Madlik Mibod Yom, you're doing Malach on Yantif Daraisa, for what, the covet of Yantif Sheni Shogolios? So certainly that cannot be done. So therefore, when it comes to Yantu Sheni Shagalios, one waits until Tetzah Kachavim in order to light. It's interesting that Tosus points out, the Tosus is found in Beit Sandav Chav Bey Samar Aleph, that in their time that was not necessarily the practice. There, we used to be madlik b'ner mibod yom, even for Yantar Sheni Shogalios. They used to light on Yantar Rishon, utilizing that on Yantar Sheni. So Tosa says, on what basis was that true? Very simply, they didn't have electricity. And therefore, already on the late afternoon of Yantar Sheni, there was a need for some illumination. There was a need for Neros. So therefore, of course, one is allowed to extend a flame on Yantif itself to utilize for Yantif. So that's what they had to do in any case on Yantif Rishon. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the afternoon is already starting to get dark, and therefore there was a need for the Ner on Yantif Rishon itself. Once you are lighting on Yantif Rishon itself, therefore Tosfos writes that Ner can be utilized as a hadlaka for Yantif Sheni Shogalios. For us, that would not be an option. Therefore, of course, we wait until Seisaka come to see to it that we light. So the Magen Ram has the following comment in Tavkuf Gimel, that it's because of this concern that our practice is to light after Seisaka Chavim even on Yantav Rishon as the Gzeira of the Yantav Sheni. And Yantav Sheni, one must do so. So therefore, we're going to declare a different Zman Hadlaka and Yantav sometime one way, sometime another way. The Magen Ram is concerned that can lead to confusion, and therefore, women will be Manlekes Mibod Yom, even for Yantav Sheni Shogalios, and therefore the Magen Avraham assumes that the ideal time on Yantav to light because of that factor is after Tzeisach HaChav, even on Yantav Rishon. But in principle, the Charad HaHara that you find out on the Frish is correct. This is what you find in the Tshuvas for Yitzchak, in Chelak Aleph, in Simin Vav, the Halachos of Kavod, Oneg, and the need to be Madik Mikra Hadin Mibod Yom. So therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, for example, where there's only one day of Yantav, it's a much more common practice to be madlik mibod yom. In Chutz Laaretz, we have Yantav Sheni Shogalios. That's the concern of the Magen Avraham, that it can lead to that confusion and can result in people doing malach and Yantav Rishon for the purpose of Yantav Sheni. But this is all rooted in this fact of kavod. If the mitzvah was only on a mitzvah ponek, so therefore, if one is allowed to extend a flame on Yantav, that could be an option for the hadlaka itself. One of the further manifestations of kavod and oneg is the following. Another comment of the Magen Avraham. If you look in Hilcha Shabbos and Reish Samach Gimel, the Magen Avraham is in Sivkot and Yud Aleph, where the Mechaber writes the following: what happens if a woman does not light, and already it's after Shkia? So already it's Ben Hashmashos. So Ben Hashmashos, at times we will allow a mitzvah to be performed with the aid of an achrit. So for example, what happens if the Ner was not lit mibod yom? So therefore, one can rely on a guy to go ahead and to light during Ben Hashmashos. The Magen Avraham adds the following great, great chiddush. The Magen Avraham just writes the following, that when that happens, when you're relying on a guy to light Ben Hashmashos, an interesting chiddush, v'hi tavarech. She can recite a bracha. Wow, that's a very great chiddush. That's the Magen Avraham writes in Reish Samach Gimel. That if, for whatever reason, you're in a situation where Amrit L'Nachri is allowed, for example, it's our mitzvah here for the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, in such a case, you can light, and even she can recite the bracha. That the Mechaber does not write. The Shnach discusses the reliance of Amrit L'Nachri. But here the Magen Avraham adds the Yid Tavarech, very, very great Kiddush, no? So just the following simple Ha'ara, that's this. That even if there would be a way to light at that time, forget for the moment regarding her bracha, but even if there would be the possibility of lighting, reliance on, right, Tzorech Mitzvah, Amir L'Nachri, Ben Hashmashos, but nonetheless, the mitzvah of Kavod would not be accommodated. No, there the purpose of the halak is for the Chovas Ha'oneg, to have a Ner Doluk Babayis. If one is doing so, but one delayed the Zman Hadlaka, so one now is failing to fulfill the element of Kavo, that certainly is the case, but in terms of the second Kiyum of Oneg, that will still exist, have an Erdolot Bavais, and the Chiddush that can be accomplished Ayyadei Nachri. Not really our Sukkah now, but what does it mean, Behit Tavarech? Apparently this is a very important Chiddush, no? What is it, Behit Tavarech? And what is the Bracha Chal? So I'll ask you the following. There's a mitzvah of Oneg. who is fulfilling the mitzvah onik? Well, if there is a nar dalof babayis, there is a key mitzvah onik Shabbos. You know what the difficulty is, though, if the goy lights? There is no maisa hamitzvah. There's no maisa hamitzvah. Here, when you have a hadlaka ayyadein achrei, there is a key mitzvah. There is no maisa hamitzvah. The goy's hadlaka is not considered to be a maisa hamitzvah. And the Magen Aram seems to be assuming a very great chiddush that a bracha could be recited on a kiyum hamitzvah, even if there is no maisa hamitzvah. And therefore, not only is the goy allowed to light under those conditions, but she can recite a bracha on the kiyum mitzvah in that particular moment. Is there any other example of a bracha on a kiyum hamitzvah that lacks maisa hamitzvah? So this is a Magen Avraham l'shitase. The Magen Avraham, the very beginning of our chayim in Siman Yotes, in Sivkot and Aleph, Magen Avraham writes the following incredible chiddush. You probably haven't heard of the Magen Avraham because it don't pass them like this Magen Avraham, but the Magen Avraham writes the following. Let's assume, for example, a person purchases a home and the mezuzahs are already in place. So you know what? That individual now is mekayim, the mitzvah mezuzah. He has a mezuzah, right, in his home. He's mekayim, the mitzvah deraisa of mezuzah. So the Magen Avraham writes the following, therefore, nichnas lozer v'socho, when the person goes and enters his home, mevarech asher kedishona mitzvah v'tzivonu, lozer babayi sheyesh bo mezuzim. That's the Magen Avraham's bracha. You make a bracha on the kiyum mitzvah mezuzim. If you're a kovei mezuzah, you make a bracha likbo mezuzah. But what after there is no maisa mitzvah? So now you have to fall back on the bracha on kiyum mitzvah. And therefore, Magen Avraham writes, eino chinami, that's true. If a person is not kovei the mezuzah, but now he's makai the mitzvah mezuzah, a bracha can in fact be recited. And if you look at the Shivat Rabbi Kiveger, in Siman Tes, an incredible chiddush. What happens, Rabbi Kiveger writes, is the following. A person is noseya mi'ira al eze yamin. Rabbi Kiveger writes, the person goes out of town for a few days. Well, if he's out of town for a few days, Rabbi Kiveger writes a little bit earlier in Teshuva, even holech la'asaka b'shuk b'shol tarbeh. A person leaves his home for a duration of time. Is he fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah? The house is not being used. The house is empty. Everybody packs up, right, and they go out of the home. So in such a case, now the house is empty. So Rabbi Kiveger writes, an incredible chiddush, k'shechozer lebeiso yivarech. When he returns home, he should make a bracha on mezuzah. Because now he's fulfilling the mezuzah, and during that interval of time that the house was unoccupied, that was not true. No, no. A bracha on the kiyum mitzvah, an application of the kiyum mitzvah. No, no. Sam mi'ira al eze yamin. Rabbi Kiveger signs the tshuva, and then after the signature, he writes the following, that he saw the Birkei Yosef. In Siman Yotes, the Birkei Yosef writes that no, that the Bircha Samazuzah can only be on the Kviya Samazuzah, on the Maisa HaMitzvah, not the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Rabbi Kiveger writes, L'dino Tzarech La'ayim. An interesting finish. No? A possibility of a Bircha HaMitzvah and Kiyum Mitzvah without the Maisa HaMitzvah. What is it to say Maisa HaMitzvah? That's what we assume, Halacha. If you put up mezuzah in my home, you're doing the Maisa HaMitzvah. You're not Mekayim HaMitzvah. What mitzvah are you fulfilling? This is not your home. I'm fulfilling the mitzvah's mezuzah. You're doing the maisa mitzvah. You recite the bracha. In fact, the Magen Avraham a little bit later in Hilchos Pesach and Taflam Beis is bothered by this. Let's assume someone is being bodeg their house for chametz on your behalf. No? Someone's doing the bedika for you. So the Magen Avraham is very bothered. How can the bodeg, if it's not his home, how can he recite the bracha of I'll be your chametz? I'll be your chametz. How can he do so? He's mekayim the mitzvah of bir chametz. It's not his home. There's no chovas bedika for him. He's doing the maisa hamitzvah, not the kiyum hamitzvah. And that's this l'shitase of Magen Avraham, the birchas hamitzvah, right? Maisa hamitzvah, kiyum hamitzvah, the various possibilities. No, but just for our purposes, right, this brief ha'ara, and that is, if you'll have a hadlaka, which is not mibod yom, such as on Yontif, if one is lining up to say, or even on Shabbos and Hashmashos, there can be a kiyum hamitzvah, not a maisa hamitzvah, a kiyum hamitzvah in that last case, but the kiyum mitzvah will be one of oneg, the kiyum mitzvah will not be one of kavod. There's something lacking in even the kiyum hamitzvah as well. The Tosfos and Shabbos that I alluded to in the Chofei Mabeis raises another issue. As mentioned, you go through the sugyas and Shabbos, The Gemara never mentions a bracha on the mitzvah of hadlakas haneres. What exactly does that mean? So Tosfos begins by stating that yesh shirotzim lomar de'ein levarach al hadlakas ner. There is no bracha. There is no bracha on hadlakas haneres of Shabbos or Yantiv. There is no bracha whatsoever. On what basis is that true? So Tosfos writes the following. She'im ha'isem mudlekes ve'omedes, because after all, if the candle was already burning, lo hayasarech lechavosa v'lachzor ulhadika, there's no requirement that you have to extinguish it and relight it. Let's assume it's Friday, and it's somewhat dark, right? So therefore you have candles burning in the home in any case. So is there a need to extinguish them and relight them l'shem Shabbos? Tosfos says no. So what do you see from that? That hadlakas haneros is not a mitzvah, it is just the reality, no, of providing oneg Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos means, literally, shelo yikasho be'etzim v'avonim, it's going to be dark in the house. You're going to trip, you're going to stumble. So part of oneg Shabbos is the house should be illuminated. But let's assume the lights are already on. So the first day in Tosfos is that's it. You don't have to do anything more. And then Tosfos says a great chiddush. If that's true, even when the lights are off, and you must light, that's just pragmatic. That's not because that frames the mitzvah. If it's not necessary, so therefore it is not considered to be maisa mitzvah, even in a circumstance where it must be done. That's that Gemara that we began with in Makos Naches and Aleph. What did the Gemara say? That gathering the schach is not called a mitzvah. Why? Because the Gemara says if someone would deposit the schach, right, on your property, you'd have to go to the forest and gather? Of course not. So you see, the gathering is not the mitzvah. And that was that Rashi that says because the mitzvah is the mitzvah's asiyah. But without the Rashi, simply the Gemara. If it's not needed, therefore that is not the maisa ha-mitzvah. So therefore Tosfos says, you don't have to light, you just have to see to it that the house is illuminated, literally. And there, dolof babayis. And if you would have that, that's all you have to do. So Tosfos says, the further chiddush, therefore, even if it's necessary to light, that is not considered to be my sonnet. So Tosfos has two objections. Tosfos says, ein nir. Objection number one is the following. Is that svara really true? That if sometimes it's not needed, then even when it's necessary, it's not a mitzvah. Is that really true? So Tosfos has two rayas. One is from Kisui Adam, and one is from the mitzvah of Mila. Tosfos says when it comes to Kisui Adam, the Sigin Chuan Da Pei Zayin, what happens if Kiso HaRuach, a person does Shchita, and all of a sudden there's a gust of wind, and it blows the sand over the dam. So the person's potter. No more needs to be done. But does that mean under normal conditions you don't make a bracha on Kisui Adam? Of course you make a bracha on Kisui Adam. Even though one could envision a circumstance where it's not necessary, if the end, if the goal was attained, the dam was mechusa, but that doesn't mean that when the act of Kisui is necessary, it's just incidental, we treat it as a dvar reshus and don't treat it as a mitzvah. And Tosfos says the same thing as when it comes to bris milah. Even if you assume the Sugyan Shabbos Nafkuf Lamed Zayin Ubeis, that if one is Nolad Mahu, nothing more needs to be done. But if a person is Nolad with an Arla, of course there's a mitzvah Bris Milah. Even if one could envision a circumstance where no meal is necessary, no Kisui is necessary, no Hadlok is necessary, it's not obvious then, even when it is necessary, that we treat it as a Dvarashus as opposed to a Dvar Mitzvah. That's the first half of Tosfos. And then the second half of Tosfos is that the whole assumption is wrong. That if you have a ner which is mudlekes v'omedes, Rabbi Yotam writes, you're wrong. You must extinguish and relight. You cannot just simply let it continue to burn. That is not the ner Shabbos. When it's obligated to extinguish and to relight, to create the Ner Shabbos. That's what Tosfos writes. That's the Kiddush of Rabbi Yotam. So you can disagree with this Yesh Shirotzim Lomar, the first day in Tosfos, on two grounds. In principle, Tosfos is right. Ein Otzarech Lachzor Ulahadlika. But that doesn't necessarily shed light on cases where there is an Isadaka. Rabbi Katan says the whole premise is incorrect. You have a Ner which is Doluk, but nonetheless, you must be Mechabe Velasu Hadlita. Why exactly is that true? What's driving this Hiddush of the Rabbi Natan? Well, Shabshat, one could argue, the two halachos. In terms of Oneg, if the Chiyuv of Oneg simply is, as the Rambam writes, to have a Ner Doluk Babayis, a house should be illuminated. That's what Shalom Bayis means. You should be able to function. Shelo Yikos Shel Beitzim Vavonim. Then the Chora Tosis' assumption is absolutely correct. So if you have a Ner Doluk Babayis, that should be sufficient. Why do you have to extinguish in order to relight? Well, when it comes to Ner Chanukah, there's a Maisa Hadlaka, Maisa HaMitzvah, Hadlakos HaMitzvah. So if you have a light that happens to be burning Yibon Yom, no one's going to say that you're Mekayim Mitzvah Ner Chanukah. But if the purpose of Ner Shabbos is that which is Oneg, and Oneg means Ner Doluk Babayis, so if you have in Ner Doluk Babayis, why isn't that sufficient? Perhaps one could argue the Chiddush of Rabbi Natan could be understood beautifully in line with the Rambam Shita, and that is that there are two halachos of Ner Shabbos. When it comes to Oneg, it's true, a Ner Doluk Babayis is sufficient. Perhaps Rabbi Natan would agree as well. It's not meaningless. There is a Ner Doluk Babayis, but that is insufficient. By virtue of Kavod, there's a mitzvah sadlaka. That is Kavod, the Hachana which is Mibod Yom. And that is what is driving that Hiddush of Tzarech L'chabal Tzvalav Tzulahavik. Therefore, a person is obligated to extinguish and to relight in that way. So perhaps that also is part of the issue with Tosus. He did Oneg, it's true, Ner Doluk is sufficient. However, in terms of the mitzvahs kavod, the maisa hadlaka mibon yom, so that requires that a person must extinguish and v'lavsor ulahadik. Just one last ta'ara, and then we'll continue the following. If you look in the Mordechai, in Menachos, the Mordechai is found in Oz, Tav Tav Kuf Mem Dalet. Tav Tav Kuf Mem Dalet. The Mordechai quotes a fascinating machlokas between the Ri and Rabbeinu Shlomo. What happens if a person has a Begel Adal Kanfos without tzitzis? Is a person allowed to wear that Begel on Shabbos? So Rabbeinu Shlomo writes, of course not. If you wear such a Begel Adal Kanfos without tzitzis, you're being mevatel, the mitzvah of tzitzis. And that cannot be done. And the Ri writes that, no, that is mutter. The Ri says that is mutter. If a person would do so b'chol, why are you wearing a Begel Adal Kanfos without tzitzis? A fixed tzitzis. B'Shabbos, you are not allowed to make the tzitzis, to attach the tzitzis to the Begel, to buy the malach of kosher. One cannot do so. The Ri writes, there's no possibility. There's no allowance to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis. Ein lachon es gadol mizu. The Torah forbids you to put tzitzis on. So the Ri writes, therefore, one is allowed to wear the begad. What are you accusing me of? You failed to don tzitzis. I'm not allowed to. Ein lachon es gadol mizu. That's the chiddush of the Ri. So therefore, in a situation where one is forbidden to create the tzitzis, there's no issue, Lamisha. That's the Kiddush of the Ri. That's what the Mordechai goes. If you look in the Gilyon HaMarsha, in your day in Simon Chavches, here, Shlomo Eger, the Gilyon HaMarsha raises the following difficulty. Is that Svar of the Ri correct? Opening Mishnah Maseches Beis Amid Aleph Kisui Adam Sugin Beis and Davches. Let's assume a person engages in Shechita, and afterwards he would have to do Kisei Hadam. And he did not prepare any dirt or earth for the purpose of Kisui. So it's clear from Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, the Sugya, and the Chesam and Aleph, that one is not allowed to do Shechita on Yantin if there is no possibility of Kisei Hadam. There's a detailed machlokas, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. What if you did the Shechita already? Are there ways that Kisui can be done avoiding a Malacha Daraisa? But less man the Bali, that if you were asking, what should I do? I'm unable to be Mechasa Dadam. I didn't prepare any dirt. All that's here is just a cloud of earth, and that would result in my chopping it up for the purpose of Kisei Hadam. You know what we would say? You're not allowed to do Shechita. So that's the Kasha, the Gilyan Marsha. How is that difficult in the Reis case of Tzitzis? The Reis says that since you're not allowed to affix the Tzitzis because there's a Malach of Kosher, so therefore there's no Yisr. We don't assume that that's true when it comes to Kisei Hadam. We assume that one is not allowed to do Shechita if as a result of the Shechita he will be unable to do the Kisei Hadam because of an Yisr Malacha. So Tzitzis Yisr Malacha is Kosher, Kisei Hadam Malacha is Kofer. Aren't they both similar? A person who is unable to fulfill the mitzvah sasei of Tzitzis or Kisui because he is an anus to manu aminas also. The Torah says you're not allowed to do so. Is there a difference between the mitzvah Tzitzis as opposed to the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam? The Rima must argue absolutely yes. When it comes to Kisui Hadam, everyone gives it to Asir. When it comes to Tzitzis, that is not the case. How do you understand that difference? This ties in with what we discussed earlier. Sheves, Peruvu, Chiddush of Yosef Engel, Ones. The way that I formulated that Chakira. No. In terms of an Isser Chalos, in terms of an Isser Maisa, a Mitzvah which is a Maisa, a Mitzvah which is a Chalos. No? Maybe that's very relevant to this issue as well. A person is an anus because the Torah forbids performance. So does that mean allowed or forbidden? So is a person allowed to do so? Allowed to do shechita? Allowed to wear the beged? Or do you assume that is not true? Maybe that should be the critical factor. What is the nature of this mitzvah? Is there an element of chalos, of totsah? In other words, is the Torah telling you that there is a necessary desired result? Or is the Torah telling you that you must? Is the mitzvah framed in terms of gavra? Is it framed in terms of the totsah, the chalos, the chetza? Maybe that should make a world of difference, no? What we had suggested before was the following. That if you're dealing with, right, a maisa mitzvah of gavra, my personal chiyuv, in such a case then, like tefillah, the tashlumin, the taz, the prisha, and so on, no? Then onus rachmana patri legamre. If, however, we deal with the case where the Torah is telling you that there is a necessary effect, there's a necessary result, there's a totsah, there's a chalos, so in such a case, you may have a very good excuse, but the bottom line is, that end is not being attained. The goal is not being achieved. And in such a case, that's a problem. There you don't just simply assume, don't worry, it's an onus, and therefore, it's as though it was accommodated. Perhaps that's the difference, according to the Reed, between the mitzvah tzitzis as opposed to cases of Kisui Hadam. When it comes to the mitzvah tzitzis, the chiddush of the Reed is the following. The tzitzis is considered to be a chovas hagavra. I don't mean it in the sense that the Gemara raises whether kli kufster or kai betzitzis, but that's a mitzvah shebegavra, and that's the chiddush of the Reed. that if the gavra's anus umanua, he cannot do so. The Torah forbids him from fixing tzitzis. There's no ismarisha whatsoever. Paul Shabshad the Re assumes the following chiddush that's not true of kisei hadam. Kisei shahadam, the totsah, the outcome, the poyotse, that's considered to be critical. Having dam built in mechusen, having the dam uncovered, la'achar shchita, that's considered to be comparable to a to'eva ve'enei Hashem. For example, the halacha dictates that if I do shchita, for whatever reason I walk and don't do the kisei hadam, you know what? You have to do the kisei hadam. Who are you? You're not the shochet whatsoever. I have a kedima, the hashochet yichase. If I do the shchita and you run and do the kisei hadam, you have to pay me a knas of asara zehuvim because you were chotev mitzvah. That's my mitzvah. I did the shchita. But let's assume I do the shchita and I leave the scene. You're mechuyev to do the kisei hadam. What do you see? That it is clear that the kpeda of the Torah is the chalos, the totsah, that the dam must indeed be mechusa. Hashem shat, that's the answer to this kasha, the Gaina Marsha. The Re would suggest this when it comes to tzitzis. But if you have a mitzvah where there's that element of chalos, poyotze, in such a case, you may be an onos. But that doesn't justify the act, because the bottom line will be is that you have a shchita where the dam is built in mechusa, and that is considered to be that which is asa. So the Gemara Beis Nafches tells you cannot do shchita unless there will be absolute kisei hadam, even if you can't do b'makamones. But the Re writes you have no right to jump from kisei hadam to the mitzvah. This is. Hashem shat, that's the answer. See, how does that tie with us? Because again, this is part of that chiddush that Tosus is dealing with when it comes to Ner Shabbos. Tosus assumes when it comes to Ner Shabbos, it's not the Maisa Hadlaka. It's not the Maisa Hadlaka. But rather, Ikra B'Totzah, Ner Doluk B'Bayis. No? What is the key? You must have a Ner Doluk B'Bayis. And therefore, Tosus goes as far as to say, if you have a Ner Doluk B'Bayis, you don't have to do anything more. Because it's not the Mitzvah Sadlaka. It's Ikra B'Chalos, Ikra B'Totzah. And therefore, Tosus comes up with this very great Kiddush that you don't recite a bracha. Because if it's pure chalos, without really maisa hamitzvah, in such a case, no bracha is needed. And Tosus disagrees with his yesh shirotzim lomar. And what are Tosus's rayas that this is not true? So beautiful, no? Tosus's rayas from kisei hadam, and Tosus's rayas from bris milah. You know why? Because what does kisei hadam and Ner Shabbos and bris milah have in common? That element of chalos, of poyotze, no? When it comes to bris milah, it's just a maisa chaticha. And the fact that there is a chalos orel, a chalos mohol, an os bris kodesh, a totsa, that's non-existent. Of course not, no? Of course there's an element of chalos. This will be very important when we talk about shlichus when it comes to bris milah. When shlichus works, when shlichus doesn't work. But undeniably, no, there's an element of chalos, os bris kodesh, when it comes to bris milah. And for example, one who is nolad mahu, who is not an orel, there's no chuvas milah. But yet Tosa says, but when bris milah is necessary, a brach is made. What do you see? That just because there's an element of chalos, nonetheless, when the Maisa HaMitzvah is performed, of course there's a bracha. And don't you see that from Kisei Hadam? Kisei Hadam, Tosus assumes, is Ikra B'Chalos, the Poyotze, the Totsah, that the Dam should be Mechusa, the Dam should be Bilti Magula, Kisah HaRuach Pater. But yet when you engage in Kisei, of course you're obligated to make a bracha. Tosus's rayas are beautifully meduya, because Tosus realized that this first Shita that is quoted is assuming that the mitzvah of Shabbos is that which is oneg, It is only goal-oriented. Our concern is only to have a ner dalek babayis, and therefore nothing more is needed, and therefore no bracha is recited. So that's not true, because I will show you the other models where you can have mitzvot which are ikra b'chalos, but yet the ma'isa mitzvah is critical, and of course the bracha is recited. And the same is true then when it comes to cases of ner Shabbos as well. That's the link in the Tosfos. But clearly, right, that element of chalos, that's a function of oneg, the kavod dictates that there's a maisa hadlaka as well, a maisa hadlaka mibodyon. But those two halakos of Ner Shabbos, right, that is part of the shak levatari of this Tosfos. This was the chiddush of Rav Asher Weiss in terms of this link between that Tosfos, right, and that machlokes between the Rebbe Ben Shlomo and the Mordechai Menachos. One last point, right, before we go further, is, you know, from the Shiur Maner Chanukah, the following, just to summarize in one line, no? The Gemara in Shabbos says in Achaf Alachim and Beis, Mitzvah, the Mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is Mishatishka Chama. The Mitzvah begins at Shkiyas Chama. What does that mean exactly? The Rambam writes, Sofos Chanukah, Perek Dalel Alachahei, the earliest time that one can light is Shkiyas Chama. You light a minute before Shkiyah, and you're not Yotze. That's the Rambam Shita. Well, that's what the Gemara says, Mishatishka Chama. And the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba writes, Mitzvasa does not necessarily mean Maisa Hadaka. Mitzvasa means the Kiyum HaMitzvah. When do you fulfill the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? When the Ner burns Mishatishka Chama, Ad Shetichla Regel Min Hashoch. When do you light? The Rashba mentions the possibility of lighting even earlier. And as long as the candle continues to burn, Mishatishka Chama, one is Yotze. So when the Gemara says, Mitzvasa Mishatishka Chama, according to the Rambam, it means Mitzvah Hadlaka. According to the Rashba, it says, no, not the act of Hadlaka, but rather the Kiyum, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah. It's Mishatishka Chama, Shetichla Rega Menashur. So one of the kashas that the Rashba writes against the Rambam is Maishra Mishabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, didn't we just learn? You have to have a ner dalek b'bayis. But when is the hadlaka? Mivod yom. So just as when it comes to Shabbos, the ma'isa hadlaka need not necessarily be at the time of the kiyum ha-mitzvah, the Rashba writes the same issue when it comes to Ner Chanukah. One can light early, as long as the Ner Chanukah continues to burn, achar shetishka chama, one is yom. So you know from the past, if you look in the very opening piece, in the Kutras Chanukah Megillah, by Rav Tzurtzin, or Chaim Aron Tzurtzin, he writes the following Chiddush. According to our whole Biur, there's no kasha whatsoever. On Shabbos, Ner Chanukah are two halachos. On Ner Shabbos are two halachos. Kavod as well as Oneg. If there wouldn't be a mitzvah's kavod, so you're right, the mitzvah would only be one of Oneg, and when a person lights Mivod Yom, that would be an example of the Maisa Laka being disjointed from the Kiyum HaMitzvah. But since on Shabbos there is a mitzvah of Kavod, as the Rambam explains, so therefore, of course you can have a Hadlaka Mibod Yom. That is not an example of a Maisa Laka Kodem Kiyum HaMitzvah, but rather that is the mitzvah of Kavod. But when one now goes to the realm of Ner Chanukah there's no element of Kavod. The Kiyum Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, everyone agrees, is only Mishatishka Chama. So therefore, the Rambam argues, the Maisa Hadlaka must be Lachar Shetishka Chama. The Chiddush of Ner Shabbos is not that you can have a Maisa Hadlaka without the Kiyum HaMitzvah, but that is a Kiyum HaMitzvah. Because that is the Mitzvah's Kavod, as the Rambam tells us. And therefore, one cannot equate Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. Once you see the structure, the Rambam can simply deflect the kasha that the Rashba raises. Pashav Shat, this is against the Bir of the Bir Halacha. Because the Bir Halacha on Tuf Reish Ayin Beis quotes what the Bir Halacha suggests is almost a steer. What does Tishka Chama mean? Mitzvasa Misha Tishka Chama. Shkia. What does that mean? The Rambam writes it means literally Shkia, sunset. And the Mordechai writes it means Sof Shkia, which is nightfall. So that's one issue. When do you light down Hanukkah? Sunset, Shkia, or Tzeis? One issue. The other issue is it's Rambam the Rashba. Can you light before the Zman? The Rambam writes no. The Rashba writes yes. The Bir Halacha creates a Lishitose. You know why the Rambam writes you cannot light before the Zman? Because according to the Rambam, the Zman is Shkia. Well, before Shkia, it's broad daylight. So Shraga Betir Maya Hanema. What does the light accomplish in broad day? But if the Rambam would have held that the Zman Hadlok is Tzeis, so maybe the Rambam would allow you to light 5 minutes before Tzeis. Because even 5 minutes before Tzeis, the Ner will accomplish something. The Ner can be perceived. So that's why the Bir Halacha writes at Tzarech Iyun. Because the Mechaber paskins L'chumra both ends. The Mechaber paskins like the Rambam that you cannot light Kod in the Zman, but the Mechaber assumes like the Mordechai that the Zman is Tzeis. Mishabur writes in Tafrei Shayim Beis, isn't that a steer? According to this Bir, no, it's not a steer. The reason that the Rambam does not allow one to light earlier is not because of, practically speaking, Shraga B'tira Mayana. It's because you can't have the Maisa HaMitzvah without the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Whenever the Kiyum HaMitzvah will be, if it's Lachar Tzeis, you can't have a Hadlaka a minute before Tzeis, even if something will be accomplished in terms of perception. You'll be able to see the Ner. That's not the factor. The question is whether you can have a lapse between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyum HaMitzvah. And the Rambam will address the Rashba's issue as on Shabbos there's no lapse whatsoever by virtue of the Mitzvah of Kavod. And that's the Chiddush in the Rambam Shita. So therefore the two issues are not at all Havotalia. You can pass them like the Rambam that the Maisa HaMitzvah can only be at the time of the Kiyum HaMitzvah, and if you all like the Mordechai, the Kiyum HaMitzvah is Lachar Tzeis, you can only light after Tzeis. Even though you could perceive it in Ner Hanukkah even before that. These are just several ha'aros regarding the concept of our Gemara, the mitzvah of Kavod, right? The concept of the Netziv writes, the Heksher mitzvah, Haksuva Bekra, as being the mitzvah of Kavod, not merely a Hachana Ba'alma, right? Of all the possible nafkaminas in terms of Ner Hanukkah, between the Kiyum, Oneg, the Kiyum of Kavod, applications to Ner Shabbos as well. Okay. The Gemara continues and tells us the following. The Gemara quotes the Kadamre that perhaps if one is Mekadesh Aisha Ayyadeh Shliach, that Isurin Amiyizma. It's not just simply an issue of mitzvah bo yosem shlucha, but maybe there's an element of Isur as well. Why is that true? After all, because Rav Yudah is the name of Rav, that Osir La'adam Shikadesh Aisha Ad Shirena. We're afraid that Shemet is gonna Allah. And therefore it's essential that you have to see the woman before you marry. After all, Brahman Amar Biahapta the Reacha Kamocha. So therefore, be Mekadesh Ayyadeh Shliach is not just simply mitzvah bayosem b'shlucho issue, but rather a possibility of the Gemara says, Asala la'adam shikadesh esayish. The Gemara tells us even further that if this is true, then perhaps one can distinguish between the Isha and Isha, because regarding the Isha Baha Isura Lesbe, why could Reish Lakish? Because Reish Lakish says that Tav Lames of Tandu, Miles of Armala. And therefore, again, we will assume that there is no such concern, Ad Shirena, that the woman will be satisfied with marriage, because that is a far preferable option for her simply to live a life alone. This statement of the Gemara first of Asa la'adam shikadesh isha ad shirena, does it really mean that it's an isser mukhlat? It's an absolute isser. So Rashi already in the sugyas he noticed as the following, that im yachol lekadesh ba'atzma. It's not an absolute isser in the following sense, that if a circumstance would arise that kedushin is impossible without, so therefore that certainly will be permitted. But if a person has the option, al yedei yashliach without re'iyah, or ad shirena, so that's where the Gemara says the preferred practice. As the Rashi comments, im yachol lekadesh ba'asmo. if Yitzchak Avinu was not allowed to leave, right, where he was, to leave that part of Eretz Yisrael, so in such a case, having Eliezer the Eved Avram go ahead and create a Kedushin, which was Alidei Shliach, right? That's a permitted option. Rashi says, in Yochel L'Kadesh V'Asim. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, in Perek Gimel Halacha Yates, the Rambam does not even use the language of Ister versus Heter, but the Rambam writes the following. V'chein ha'ish ein royolo shi'kadesh k'tana. Right, the Rambam writes, it's not really royal, it's not fully fitting for a man to marry a very, very young girl. And then the Rambam continues, v'lo yi'kadesh isha ad shirena. The Rambam used the term that ein royal. Shuvas HaTashbeis, Mechelek Dalet, Simen Yates, that already points out that the Gemara uses the language of Asur. The Rambam tempers that language, that Rayo and Eino Rayo. Poshub Shad, the Rambam again did not feel that this is considered to be an Isur Mukla. If you look in the Yad David, Ren Arsugya, Yad David writes, our Gemara should be interpreted as an Eitzah Tova. It's an Eitzah. The Gemara says it can result in Tizganalo. So therefore one should do everything to see to it that does not take place, but not necessary that it is in fact an Isser Mukhla. It's interesting, the Rambam uses the same language in the flip side. The Rambam Hilchos Isur Bia in Perach Chaf Aleph Halacha Gimel writes the opposite, that normally there's Nisra of Histatus Panashim. However, there is no Isser of Histatus if one is doing so for the purpose of marrying the woman. After all, it's appropriate, right, to look carefully at the person you are about to marry. So there's no iser of histatlus. And then the Rambam adds the line, lo od ela shirayu lasos kein. Rayu lasos kein. It's appropriate to do so, right? Not only is it ein orayo to marry a woman without riya, but the Rambam writes, not only mutter the histakel, but rayu lasos kein, if it's in the right context of first issues. The Rambam used the terms of Rayo and Inner Rayo as opposed to Asr and Mutter. The reason this is important is for another concern as well. Right? This we'll get to at great length when we do the Sugya of Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira. We normally assume in Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. In Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. If something would involve an element of Isser, then we assume in Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. It's a fascinating issue. What happens, for example, if the Isser is Nisr Drabban? Isser is not an Isser Mukhlad Daraisa. But the Isser is, in fact, an Isser Drabban. Then do you assume the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? This is a Chiddush that the Mishnah Malach discusses in Perek Beis of Hilchos Roseach, where the Mishnah Malach writes that even if you're dealing with an Isser Drabban, we will still apply the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. So no debut in Madura Kama and Evan Ezer and Simon Ayin Vav writes the following. If that's true, that if there's any element of Isser, even in Isser Drabanan, you assume Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, so no debut just simply asks from our Gemara. So how are you ever Mekadesh and Isha Al Yedei Shliach? No, the Gemara says it's inappropriate. Also, let him shekadesh yishan shirena. Why not assume that no, if a person is doing so and it really is an iser, even if you say it's not a drasha gemura, but it's nisid rabbanan, but shouldn't we assume that ein shliach l'dvar aveira? And what is the basis of the kasha that the Noda Bita deals with? What do we mean, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira? Remember, we discussed in earlier Shiurim that no or lo or ein can have one of two different meanings. Sometimes it means an Isser, sometimes it means a Shlila. Sometimes it can mean it is forbidden, but sometimes it means it is not recognized. Not recognized? No. Mas Shabbos is Kriya Satara, lo yuchal levakir. You cannot deprive the Bechor from Pishnayim. Is that an Isser? Or is the Rambam right? No, just you cannot do so. You cannot do so. Right? You leave this in your will and testament that you want to deprive the Bechor of Yishnayim, we're going to ignore it. It's not going to happen. Right? Lo yikach, lo yikachu. Is it an Isser? We discussed that Chinuch. Now there's an Isser to Mekadesh Arayos. There's an Isser. Lechora, there's an Isser to Mekadesh Chayvei Lavin, where there is Tfisas Kedushin. There's an Isser to Mekadesh Nerva. Maybe there's an Isser. What? There's an Isser Bia. No, it's an Isser Erva. There's a Chiv Karet. The Vlaza Mams, there is an Isser Kedushin. That's a fundamental issue. What does the Torah mean? No? What do the Chachami mean when they said, Ein Shliach Ledvar Aver? We're used to thinking Ein Shliach Ledvar Aver means the following. If there would be Shlichus, who would we fault? We would come very down very hard on the Mishaleach. Maybe Ein Shliach Ledvar Aver means it's the fault of the Shliach. It's a question of culpability. Who are we going to blame? The Shliach or the Mishaleach? Ein Shliach Ledvar Aver means that we're going to fault the Shliach. But Tosfos has a possibility about Metzian, Daf Yud Beis, let's discuss this at length, where Tosfos says that's not what it means. Ein Shliach Ledvar Aver means, Pshuto Kamashmo, the Torah does not recognize Shlichus Ledvar Aver. There's no such thing. There are psukim that tell us that there's a concept of Shlichus. And the Torah only recognizes Shlichus for purpose of a mitzvah, for purpose of Rishus. There's no such thing. Bittul HaShlichus. The Torah does not recognize Shlichus. You are not the Shliach. That's what the Node Hida deals with. If you put this together, that Ein Shliach Ledvar Aver means that there's no Shlichus whatsoever, and you interpret our Gemara as really, Asul Adam Shikadish Ishad Shirena. So therefore, shouldn't we assume a great Kiddush that the Kedushin should not be Chal? There should be no Shlichus. That certainly is not the case. There is Shlichus when it comes to Kedushin. The Gemara just simply says it's not appropriate because Shemet is gone Allah. If one should assume that Ein Shliach Ledvar Aver really means Ditzel HaShlichus, one perhaps would argue, as we saw in the Rambam, maybe as Rashi alludes to in Yochel, that this is really not an Isser Muchlat at all. Almost as the Yad David writes, in terms of Eitz Tova Kamashmala. And certainly the Shlichus will be able to withstand that Eitz Tova is one. Okay. So Rish Lakish continues and says that there should be a split between Isha as opposed to Isha based on the following assumption. That being married is considered to be a schus for an isha. Being alone is not. And therefore, we can still assume mitzvah ba yosef yishlucha, but that other concern is not relevant from the perspective of the isha. As I mentioned to you, the Mishnah in Gittin and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis reiterates la halacha, the assumption that a woman being married is considered to be a schus. An individual being an eved is considered to be a chovah. Mamai nafkamina, the Gemara says that's a fundamental difference daraisa. When it comes to gitei nashim as opposed to shichrei avarim, the application of zechiyah. Is zechiyah ever possible? And that's where the Mishnah Gittin Daf Yud Aleph Beis tells us the following. When it comes to ishtar shichur, zachin ladam shelo b'fanav, we assume it's for the betterment of the Eved to be Meshuchrar, and therefore Zechiyah works. The Adam can give the Shtar Shichur to a third party without the Eved even being aware, and that will secure his Feirus. Hashenki, when it comes to Gitei Nashin, Ve'ein Chavim Lo La'adam Ela B'fan. So Tosus is Vavim. The Tosus in Gitei Yiral from Beis Dermas for Gitei Nashin. Tosus calls the Yerushalmi. Is that categorically true? It's always a chova to be an eved. It's always a schus to be married. Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi. That's a God's macha. Haya avdo shel katzin. That's what the Yerushalmi says. This person is an eved to the king, to the minister. Are you chov lo eved? That's something which is so terrible. To be treated royally. Or, for example, Harei shahaisa ishta muchashchin. The girl is married to an unattractive person. Harei schusula. You mean to say that that's considered to be a schus? What does the Mishnah mean categorically? Avdus is a chovah, ishus is a schus. Doesn't it depend to some measure on circumstance? That's the kasha of Yerushalmi. So Tosfos quotes the answer of Yerushalmi that lesa chela kahada. This is the answer. Ilu hamocher avdo shlomidato shema ino mochor. That's what Yerushalmi writes. You mean to say if an adam were to sell this eved, the mechir would not be chal? What exactly does that mean? So the Tosfos Rashi answers. Tosfos Rashi writes the following. Good, right now you happen to be an eved to the king. But the king can sell you in a second. No? And if he sells you, and you are an eved to a different adam, your plight can be a very dire one. So therefore, it is a schus for you to be a ben chorin, as opposed to an eved, even if in the immediate sense you have it pretty good, but that can change instantaneously. Shem yimkiren alacher. That's simply what the Tosfos Rashi writes. That's the view in Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, ilu mochar avdo shlomi dato shem eino mochor. Right? Yerushalmi's answer is, does the adon need the reshus of eved to sell him? No. In other words, you're having it good now. That's no indicator of the future. And therefore, avdus is considered to be a chovah. The Tosfos Rashi tells you that's the beer in Yerushalmi. But then the Tosfos Rashi adds the following. But we didn't answer the ishus kasha. No? Bekushit isha nir and isha lo tirit. That's just explaining why it's a chovah to be an eved. But we have yet to explain why it's considered to be a schus to be married. That you don't find. So the Tosfos Rashi writes, the answer is our Gemara. V'somech al zeh darminam tav l'meisav tandu l'meisav armon. That is relying on our Gemara. That categorically, right, it is better for the isha to remain married than simply to be on her own. Therefore, the Mishnah assumes that that is considered to be a schus. If you look in the Sugin Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara Yevamos raises the following issue. What about a Paisuk Tata Beinayim? Let's assume that they're constantly arguing. And all of a sudden the Baal is Mezaka Aged Ayidei Acher Ishta. There also you're going to assume that it's a Chovulah. Two days in the Rishonim, what the Maskana Sagamar is. The Iker day in Rishonim is Inochinami. Gerishin is still considered to be a Chovula. There's certain Shibudim that the Baal has to Isha. The Shibudi HaBaal are obviously Pakalachar Gerishin. So therefore, that's considered to be a Chov. There is, however, Yeshom Shokarach, this is Evan Ezer, Simen Kuf Mem, or the Machaber quotes as Yesh Omrim, the sheet of the Ran in the very beginning of Perak Vav of Gittin, that writes, it's a Safek in the Gemara, Safek Megoreshes. If Isaac thought of an Ahem, maybe one could envision a situation where it is considered to be a schus. For a woman to be divorced, if we know that that's what the married life entails. And then that very same sugi, Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, discusses the following. What happens if we're dealing with one who is Mizaka Get the Ishto B'Makom Yom? You have a husband who is ill, there are no children, and he wants to give a get to his wife, Al Tnai. She'im yamus, if in fact the person will die, tehei megureshes me'afsha, then I want the get to be chal right now. The husband does not want that his wife should be zekukuli avam. She might have to wait around for yibum, for chalitza. So he's not interested in divorce, right? He just wants to free her from being zekukuli avam. So therefore a get is given out now. So the Gemara says, would Zechiyah work? The woman's not there. The husband is definitely ill. He'll be Mizaka the get to the Isha Ayyadei Acher. Lachora for her betterment. No? That if he will die, she'll be a Grusha, not an Amana. And therefore, there's no issue of Yom Chalitza. So the Gemara Yevamos writes the following: do we assume Kevan Desanya Lezgus? Do we assume that perhaps because there's some animosity between the woman and her brother-in-law, that's called a skus? She's not interested in marrying her brother-in-law. She's not interested in undergoing chalitza. So therefore, obviously, it's a skus. Or do we assume that kevan dezimnim demiracham achol? No, maybe this is something that she would welcome. Marrying, right, her brother-in-law. And therefore, it's considered to be a chol for her to be megoreshes. She'd rather be an Amman. So there the Gemara says that's a suffix. And therefore, what's the halacha in such a case? Mizak get ishtamakam yavam, choleses v'lo misya b'emes. Yibum is not allowed because maybe she is a grusha, because Zechiah works. If Zechiah doesn't work, she's a kukli yavam, so therefore chalitza is needed. So in that case, choleses v'lo misya b'emes. That's what the rabbi writes in Achos Gerishin. Tereses halacha chavalev. That we treat that as a suffix, whether it's a skus or whether it's a chova for her to be divorced, and therefore choletzes enemy sevenes. So if you look in the Marshal, the Yom Shel Shlomo, in that sugya, Yevamos Praktes Vav, Simen Chavale, Yom Shel Shlomo writes the following great chiddush. What were the tzadim of the Gemara? To assume it's a skus, a chova, very simply. Because maybe the woman would not want to marry her brother-in-law, but maybe she would, the Gemara says. Maybe she would. The Yom Shel Shlomo writes the following Kiddush. What about Bizman Hazeh? Bizman Hazeh, we assume that the mitzvah chalitza is called emes, the mitzvah yibum. We're not going to allow yibum to take place. The Gemara says, Yevamos, that you have to be mechav l'shem shamayim, no? Very relevant for the sugi of the Chiyas Yisurim. There's an Yisrael Shasach. Yisrael Shasach is Pakal Yidei Yibum. To what extent is the Kavanas HaGavra critical? A person is Mechav Neshem Shemayim, right, to build the home of the deceased, Mitzvah Yibum. Yeah, but if a person is not on such a high madrega, the Lashon HaGemar is that maybe it's Kido Pogia Be'erva. Marrying your brother is not something you normally allow. So Bizman Hazeh, we insist on Chalitza. We're not giving the option of Yibum. The Yom Shel Shlomo writes, it's the following Chiddush. If the whole Tzad HaSafek of the Gemara to assume that the get is considered to be a chov and no zechi works is because Zimnim de Rachama, that maybe there'll be an affinity between the woman and the Yavam, and maybe she would desire Yibum, well, if you're not going to provide that option, so therefore, certainly, Gerushin should be considered to be a Yischus. And perhaps Zechiah would work. Or the Yom Shel Shlomo continues in the following. Let's assume that the Yavam is married. The Yavam is married already. And the Cherud and the Gerushin would not even allow for Yibum to take place. We would not allow a person to be Nosei Isha Al Ishto, to have two wives. So Yibum is out of the question. The only possibility is chalitza. So what are the two options? Either you need chalitza or you don't need chalitza. So isn't it a schus to allow the get to take place and we don't need for chalitza? So the Yom Shel Shlomo just writes, his conclusion is, lo mola libo lahakel legarsh lechatchila diacher. He says that I don't have the heart, the shoulders to say that this is no problem at all. And this is what one should do lechatchila, that if there is such a possible occurrence of fear that one is going to die, b'menzaka aget li'ishto al yedei acherim, but b'dievet certainly megoresha subtura min achalitza. That's the chiddush of the Marshal, very great chiddush. But even though the Gemara does seem to present this categorically, there could be exceptions, as in the case of the Ketata bin Ahim. And even if there we assume that's not necessarily true, that's because a ketata, sometimes arguments pass, no? But if it's clear that it's considered to be a schus not a chovah, yibum, where there's no possibility of yibum, and halacha insists on chalitza, that would not be the case. If you look at the Tosfos Yishanim, and that's the Yivam, it's kufir chesam adbeis. The Tosfos Yishanim, what happens if the yavam is a katan? So the Yibam is a few years old. So what are you talking about Yibam for now? You're saying that what? Yibam could take place years from now. Or Rabbi Natan writes, what if the Yibam is a Mumar? So there also it's a schus. The Gemara mentions the reason Zechiyah may not work is because the woman would desire to marry the Yibam. But if you have cases where that cannot be, the Amshel Shlomo's case is Manazeh, Rabbi Natan's case is even Bizman HaGemara, where the Yibam caught in a Mumar, so therefore that is considered to be a case of Yischus as well. The next sugi that we'll do, right, is the sugi of Shlichus. Take a look again at the Gemara very carefully. The Gemara has three different possibilities for Shlichus. Now, the Gemara will mention the parsha of Gerishin, Veshilach, Veshilcha. Right, the second Mekar the Gemara mentions when it comes to Truma, Kain, Tarim, Mugam, Atem, the Midbar Yechess. Right, that's when it comes to Truma's Meister, the Chiyav of the Levi, to be Mafresh, Truma from the Meister which is given to him. And then, of course, right, Karban Pesach. The Shachar to also Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael. Interesting, take a look at the Gemara carefully. The Gemara has Itzrichasa. Right, if you only had one, you couldn't necessarily derive all of the others. What we'll have to start discussing simply, just in terms of Pashup Shat in the Gemara, the following. In all three of these cases, is this the same form of shlichus? Are they identical? What exactly is shlichus? And if shlichus is rooted in the parsha of Gerishin, do we understand shlichus the same way as shlichus when it comes to Korban Pesach? Or maybe one could envision different forms, different manifestations of shlichus itself. I'll just leave with the following kasha. Right, but this opens up a whole world. No, the Gemara has, and that from Aleph and Aleph is the following. Shlichus works. The Gemara says we know that from the parsha of Gerishin. Good, Veshilach Meshulchan. Good. What about Shliach also Shliach? Can one Shliach appoint another Shliach? So, you know, we learned previously, no, but of course, no, like Gemara says, Veshilach Meshulchan, Melamish Shliach, also Shliach. Of course that's good. We talked about fancy exceptions, no? The possibility that maybe this is not true when it comes to, right, Shliach with Kabbalah, the Ramban Mile, Mile Mitzvah with Shliach, fine. That's a clearly exceptional case. But Chol HaTorah Kula, don't we assume Shliach also Shliach? No? So the answer is yes. On what basis? How do you know Shliach also Shliach? So you'll tell me a pasuk. Gemara says so, no? V'shilach v'shulcha. You know what the difficulty is? The difficulty of the Chor is the following. Where is this pasuk found? When it comes to Gerishin. No? And what did our Gemara just say? That you're very limited with what you can learn from Gerishin. No? Gerishin is Yeshna Bal Karcha. Gerishin is Yeshna Bachol. So therefore, if you only had the pasuk of Gerishin, you couldn't derive Kol HaTorah Kula from there. No? Is that what the Gemara says? So that's why it's necessary to have all these other psukim. You have to have Gerishin together with Shema together with Korban Pesach. That's a very simple kasha. So, how do you know Shliach Oseh Shliach? The answer is a pasuk from Gerishin. Yeah, but the Gemara now is going to tell us you can't learn from Gerishin. So if the halacha would be that Shliach Oseh Shliach is unique to Gerishin, I'm all set. But if that in fact is the halacha of Chol HaTorah Kula, so how do you just understand this pasuk shot in the Gemara? The Gemara says we know this broad halach of Shliach Oseh Shliach from Gerishin. Another Gemara proceeds to tell us, but realize you cannot learn anything from Gerishin. Because Gerishin is Yeshna Bal Karch, Yeshna Bachal. No? So how do you resolve that difficulty? Forget about the lumbus, Poshab Sham and Gemara. How do you resolve that difficulty? The reason I bring up this question, simply, this Poshab Shah, the Shaka Matari of the Gemara, and what's the answer to that question? No? Perhaps the answer to the kasha is going to introduce different forms of shlichus entirely. There may be differences between shlichus when it comes to gerish and shlichus when it comes to cases of Korban Pesach. This will serve just simply as a background to introduce the sugya of different types of shlichus. If you can, in addition to going through the sugya well, take a look at the Tshuva Sarivash, Simen Reish Chafet. You don't have to go through the whole tshuva, just the very opening lines of the tshuva. Reish Kofes. This is the kasha of the tshuva srivash. Hoshim Shatnar Gemara. How can the Gemara say it once that Shteyachos or Shteyach is derived from Gerishin, then a couple lines later say, you can't learn anything from Gerishin, that's when you're the Pasuk of Shema Karbesa. Because Gerishin Yeshabal Karki Yeshabachal. You mean to say that Shteyachos or Shteyach is only true when it comes to Gerishin? Not when it comes to anything else? That's not true. What's the answer to that question? No? Perhaps that answer is going to shed great light on different forms of shlichus. To what extent do we really assume that shlichus is considered to be yada richte damia, shluchus shalom kamosa? To what extent do we assume that shlichus is just simply what we call al pidin, right, mesiras koach? It simply is an act of empowerment. We discussed the Nosei Yisub Etnai, Yisub Shlichus, the link of Bailos, right, together with Shlichus, right? Much of that will just simply emanate from the simple Shach Mavitai of our Gemara. This is a critical issue. How do we know the Shlichus or Shlich when it comes to Shar Minei Shlichus, aside from the Parashah of Yerim Shem? Okay, Smet Hashem, we'll start tomorrow.